Green lasers dance over an unusual sight. Not a celebration of music or dance, but over armored military vehicles in the streets of Chile. The laser pointers draw attention to the vehicles, and they also serve to blind the officers within. In the daytime, protesters whack at the sidewalk with a shovel, a piece of rebar, whatever is available. They dislodge chunks of cement, good for throwing, at encroaching police forces. Civil unrest in Chile has continued for over a month now. Protests were originally in response to a hike in subway fares, but have blossomed into widespread street protests against political and economic inequities in the country. Now the military is in the streets, firing on protesters, and the colonel in charge has given officers free rein with impunity. He does not intend to punish anyone for human rights abuses. Even medical personnel are not spared from the crackdowns. Joshua Tucker is a freelance journalist in Chile and has been filming these protests and their predecessors. The sounds you're hearing right now are from footage taken in the streets of Santiago. According to Tucker, the human rights abuses committed by the military against the citizenry is severely underreported.
The official death count is still at 23, but doctors are reporting being pressured to change the cause of death on autopsies, and many cases remain unclear. There's a lot more people that have died than the state is willing to admit. This pattern of a lack of transparency and, frankly, honesty in the information being released by the military, the police branch of the military, and the state itself leave a lot of disparities between official numbers released by international human rights organizations, and numbers that are still being independently reported. There have been over 270 ocular wounds, mostly people who have been hit in the eye socket by a rubber bullet. Young man named Gustavo Galletica was completely blinded. He was hit in both eyes. These rubber bullets, quote-unquote, the representatives of the Chilean state told the Inter-American Court on Human Rights that the bullets contained only 80% rubber, but an independent study conducted by the well-respected University of Chile found that the bullets only contained 20% rubber, and that one of the largest elements was actually lead, which can be have had very dangerous health effects when these bullets become lodged in the body, and the blood and the lead enters the bloodstream. And these bullets are, you know, because of their high content of metals, they are becoming lodged in people's bodies, not only in their eye sockets, but in many cases in their lungs, in the testicles. So there have been 66 charges brought by the Chilean Institute for Human Rights for sexual violence by the police and the military, including two rapes. There have been 273 charges of torture and cruel treatment, 365 total charges brought by the Chilean Institute for Human Rights, which has the most observers on the ground. And that same Chilean Institute for Human Rights received over 2,000 reports of human rights violations in just a 20-day period, and we're now over 30 days for this state of unrest. So you can see that they haven't managed to file charges in the vast majority of the cases, over 80% of the cases that they receive reports on. As of November 11th, the official total for the number of arrests was 11,000. Unofficial estimates are over 20,000. There's a real lack of transparency in this that's being acknowledged. The Chilean National Institute for Human Rights has actually stopped publishing an arrest count and is only publishing the number of people they've managed to visit in jails. Many police are masked and wear false name tags with names such as Super Dick and Raptor if they have any kind of identification at all. They're using expired tear gas. Canisters have been recovered that have expiration dates as long ago as 2007. Independent reports state that when tear gas is expired, it produces cyanide. And so, for example, a protest I was in on Friday a protester actually died after there was heavy use of this expired tear gas, and he had a heart attack, and police continued attacking the ambulance, and he wasn't able to get to the hospital in time. So clearly these human rights abuses have been denounced, not only by the Chilean National Institute for Human Rights, but by the UN High Commission for Human Rights, the European Union, and the UN High Commission for Human Rights has called on the Chilean state to discontinue the use of these quote-unquote rubber bullets, although they have continued to use them.
Chilean President Sebastián Piñera is deeply unpopular. This week, his government approved a referendum date on the Constitution for April of 2020 in an attempt to quell protests. The Constitution is a major sticking point for protesters out in the street today. It was written during the U.S.-backed dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, a brutal and tyrannical ruler. That fact alone might be enough to motivate a rewrite of the Constitution, given the injustices and trauma endured by Chileans who lived through that era. But as Tucker explains, the Constitution enshrines the structure which supports the inequities at issue today.
So the Pinochet-era Constitution allows for things like military on the streets. You know, in the United States, we bring out the National Guard, but we have very strict prohibitions against the national military, the enlisted military, being used on the streets. In Chile, the Pinochet-era Constitution allows the military to operate on the streets, and so we've seen tanks roll through the streets and a variety of munitions used, and even beyond the limits that are within the Pinochet-era Constitution, the military has been on the streets. And that's part of the constitutional case against current President Sebastián Piñera. The Pinochet-era Constitution was written with very high quorums for any sort of social changes, and it also made itself extremely hard to remove. So because the form of government established by the U.S.-backed dictatorship has prevented education, healthcare, pension system reforms from being passed, people are absolutely fed up with it.
Maria Piavola Carillo, a protester interviewed by Tucker, seconded the importance of getting a new constitution.
The principal point is that we want a new constitution because our constitution was written during the years of Pinochet. It's a constitution that members of the military wrote behind closed doors. It goes against all our rights, and we are tired of it. This is the second depression I have lived through. In 1973, I was 6 years old. During the first month, they killed my father. They persecuted him because he was a communist. He was a manager at the biggest coal mine in the country, in Loda. I had to leave the country and go into exile, and now I return to Chile and find all this going on. I never thought I would live this moment, that I would live what I'm living today, because we have more than 30 years under a constitution that doesn't allow us to change things. There are things that we want to change, but the Pinochet-era constitution doesn't give us quorum. And so the people are already tired of this. The people in Chile woke up. We are in the streets, and we are not going to leave the streets until we get what the people want.
The movement in Santiago is centered around Plaza Italia, now renamed Plaza de la Dignidad, or Plaza of Dignity. Tucker explains.
The police are killing peaceful protesters. And so what these more militant protesters are doing is protecting. They're doing this specifically to protect the plaza. This is a plaza-based movement, like Occupy or Tahrir Square, and just to make it so people can peacefully protest. So the Chilean Institute for Human Rights has brought charges against Chilean police and military for use of the city's central subway station as a torture facility during the first days of the social uprising. And that station remains closed to this day. There's videos of people like being naked, being chased by police officers with batons through that station. Which the crazy thing is that station has like tunnels all under the central plaza where the Plaza de la Dignidad, the Plaza of Dignity, as it's been renamed, and is now on Google as Plaza of Dignity. And so there's a police station with tunnels all under that plaza, which, you know, and that station has now been closed because of official charges of torture taking place in it. So the fact that you know, people, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, in at least one case over a million people, gather in this plaza with a police station that's been, that official charges have gone out that have been used for torture, literally underneath the plaza, underscores the profundity of this state of social unrest and the level of trauma that everybody's going through.
One anonymous masked teenager in the square explained the significance of the protests in his life.
I am here for my friends who have died in the protests, my friends who the police have silenced. People were tortured here in Bacadano Metro Station. I'm here for my grandmother. The pensions here are not enough to buy her medications or anything. My mother receives less than the minimum wage at work. We can't get through the month. It's not enough to buy the things for the house. So we are protesting here today. I have many friends who have been hit by rubber bullets. The police are very aggressive. My friends have been in serious condition with head wounds and rubber bullets in the arms and legs. Many people have lost an eye.
Without addressing the human rights abuses and enacting change now, Tucker says it is unlikely that the street protests will cease anytime soon.
The shoot-to-kill curfew implemented by President Piñera's administration delivered such a shock to Chileans who were previously traumatized by the military killings, the military on the street during the Pinochet dictatorship, that simple political concessions or promises of future processes do not reach the streets. People on the streets say that they will be on the streets until the changes are implemented, until there is bread in the house, that there will be no peace until there is justice. And so, in a way, these concessions made by the political class do not reach or satisfy the vast majority of the population, which is on the streets. The president, President Piñera, has said we are at war. The response of many protesters is we are not at war, we are united. And with President Piñera's approval rating now at 9%, according to the polling firm he himself owns, you can see that a very great majority of the Chilean people are united and are not stopping, but instead are deepening their state of rebellion by taking over public institutions, occupying universities. We have over 150 high schools currently being occupied by their students. This is similar to waves of high school and university occupations that occurred in 2016, 2011, 2006. So those occupations in previous years lasted as long as 6 or 7 months. So Chile, now 1 month into this state of non-international internal conflict, as the UN would call it, people on the streets are still saying this is just beginning. And previous movements in Chile have shown periods of unrest of this nature, though not facing such great human rights abuses in many cases, have continued for 6 or 7 months. So I would say that there's very little end in sight for this state of unrest.
Joshua Tucker is a freelance journalist in Chile working on a documentary entitled Veins of Resistance at veinsofresistance.net. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.